interesting, talking about impressions of Rabban Cutler. When did you first hear about Lakewood?
Lakewood, I heard about Lakewood when I was in Eretz Israel. I came from Eretz Israel. When I came back from Eretz Israel to America.
Where were you in Eretz Israel?
I was in Eretz Israel, learning Yeshivas Chevron.
Uh-huh. But what year was that?
This was in 19... I came to Lakewood in 1961.
Uh-huh.
I came to Lakewood in Elul of 61. I came back from Eretz Israel in the summertime, and I came to Lakewood in 19... That means in Elul of 1961.
What attracted you to come to Lakewood at that time?
At that time, I wanted to... Well, I wanted to have a makom, a shtarka makom Torah, where it's where that's what Lakewood was famous for at that time, and for Shteitzach, under a baron, it was the most chashus the makom Torah at that time.
Where were you before Eretz Yisrael?
Before Eretz Yisrael, I learned in Yeshivas Ner Yisrael.
In Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Okay. So you're a few years in Hebron.
I was, before that I was in Shiva's Kfar Hasidim, Rabel Lapian.
Uh-huh.
In fact, from Baltimore I went to Rabel Lapian.
Uh-huh.
And from there I went to Hebron.
That's a subject in itself.
Yeah, that's a subject in itself.
Yeah.
That's a subject in itself.
Yeah.
Rabel Lapian was a subject in itself. But
yeah.
From there I came to Lakewood and...
Yeah.
And Lamaisai, what I first remember coming to Lakewood was at night time.
Yeah.
Came in the evening.
What time of the year?
It was in Elul.
Oh.
It was in the summertime.
Yeah.
Like, it must have been August. I don't know exactly
right.
When.
No, that's not that just
exactly what it was, but at that time, Lakewood was not what Lakewood is now. It was basically, I don't know how many Talmidim had, maybe like 85 Bachrim, maybe like 35 Yungalite.
35 Yungalite.
Maybe at that time, that's what it was. And it was in the corner of Forest and... I think it was
7th
Street, right? It was the old building there,
right.
And and that was I forgot who I met first. I met
who did you meet first?
I don't remember who I met first, but it's hard for me to remember now exactly.
Who are the people that you first knew in Lakewood?
I who I first knew that were there in Lakewood.
Yeah.
Hard for me to remember. If I had some friends beforehand that were there.
It doesn't have to be exactly.
I don't remember exactly who was there. It was there at that time. Maybe I don't remember exactly.
Uh-huh.
It was hard for me to remember, but it wasn't such a big olam that you could make friends.
Uh-huh.
At that time, the next morning, I don't remember. I'm just assuming this is what happened. The next morning, I met Rab Aaron.
Uh-huh.
And
what was your introduction?
It's hard for me to remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what was introduction, but I know one thing for sure, that at that time, Rab Aaron, I was accepting the yeshiva. I was there Gans Elul.
Uh-huh.
I was there for, and that time Rab Aaron said shmuzen. It was mamish like a very, very inspiring shmuzen that Rab Aaron gave. I think it was Muster Bispilus at that time.
Uh-huh.
But that effect, I'm not, don't remember 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosh Hashanah, was in the yeshiva. The davening was Gabaldic, and Kippur was there in the yeshiva. And I stayed on. Since I lived out of town.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed on the yeshiva, and I was there for Sukkot.
Uh-huh.
And Rab Aaron and Sukkot was a gebaldik. It was a gebaldik mass of simcha.
Uh-huh.
Very, very besimchatik. It was very. Very happy.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it was
uplifting.
Very uplifting. Yeah. So we were. The Sukkot was by the old dining room. And
mm-hmm.
They built the sukkah, and I remember at that time I helped build the sukkah, and Rab Aaron came into the sukkah, and he had a broom, and he was sticking the, and I was on top there, and he was sticking the shot. He says, Dadaf, here you need more shot. Wherever the broom went through,
uh-huh.
That's where he held it. You have to put in more shach.
Uh-huh. What kind of shach do you use?
Time we used pine.
Trees.
Pine.
Pine trees.
Pine.
Yeah, right.
Pine trees. That's
right,
what we used, those pine trees. and was a small sukkah. It wasn't a big sukkah, it was a small sukkah at that time. And
the dining room, you said the old, is that the same place where the old dining room was now?
It was the old dining room, and that building was knocked down. That used to be the dining room plus a dormitory.
Uh-huh.
There was a dining room downstairs of an old mansion.
It was on 6th Street.
It was on 6th Street, the 617 6th Street. That was 617 6th Street.
Yeah.
It was an old mansion, and downstairs was a dining room. Upstairs, Rabban had a room for himself with a room.
Yeah.
And the Bochum, son Bochum, slept upstairs.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, outside, they had built a sukkah outside. And what was at that time? In fact, I remember at that time they didn't have any soda machines in the yeshiva. The soda machine was outside. It was a gansa machlekes, because they should have a soda machine in the yeshiva, not a soda machine in the yeshiva. So Rabban Helfer should put the soda machine outside, and that was a compromise of a soda machine.
Well, some people didn't want to have it at all.
They didn't help. It was a soda machine. You're talking about a long time ago. So their soda machine was like it was like too American to have a soda machine in Lakewood Yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
And
so Rabban was not against it.
The soda machine was outside. It was put outside. It was put on the porch. In other words, the old mansion had a porch. And the soda machine was there. How do I know? Because my room was right by the soda machine. Bochum came to buy soda.
I was asked if they had soda machines at that time.
That time was Pepsi. That's what we drank. At that time, we drank Pepsi. Uh-huh. That was a drink at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And every night during Sukkot, we had Simchas Beis HaSheva. It was not held in the Sukkot. The Simchas Beis HaSheva was not held in the Sukkah. We came to say together Shira Mailasim. I think at the Goyim's Yard Side, that's what it was. It was the Goyim's Yard Side. They had about maybe like 15 people, something like that.
They had the Simchas Beis HaSheva in the dining room.
They had the Simchas Beis HaSheva in the dining room. But what was the name Simchas Beis HaSheva? There was no Simchas Beis HaSheva. The Simchas Beis HaSheva, because he said some Tillim. Said Shira Milos, and they sold the Shira Milos and they raised what they sell it.
$3,
$5, whatever it was.
They had no food or drink.
I don't remember that. I don't think there was food or drink. It was, but on the Goyim's Yard Side, I remember they some people came together. It was small oilam, a small oilam. I mean, the Bochum, most of the Bochum went home.
Uh-huh.
And there was only some alive that stood
left
for Sukkot. Yeah, it was a small oilam.
Uh-huh.
In fact, during that, so that was at nighttime. And at nighttime, when we wanted to go sleep in the sukkah, you always used to ask Rabban, and said, it is too cold to sleep in the sukkah now. So Rabban used to go out, and I said, Sitzi kalt. So Baba Mai said, the Bochum anyway slept in the sukkah. We put down mattresses,
uh-huh.
And those that slept in the sukkah.
Was he didn't insist on that?
No. No, not at all. He didn't insist on that at all. No, he didn't insist. No. So, during that time, let's see, was Yontif time. It was on Yontif. This was like Chalamoid. It was Chalamoid. So, during Yontif, used to be, Lakewood at that time was a resort town.
Uh-huh.
And that's originally what Lakewood Ishi became, because it was a resort town. Balabat
right.
used to come from New York.
Uh-huh.
So I remember one time at that time, Irving Bunim came to the sukkah, and he had a few other people come in, and he took some wine. I remember, and he asked Rabbi, Medaf Machna Leishav a sukkah of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Rabbi said,
on wine.
I think that's what happened. Because they licked my cup. That's what happened.
Yeah, so you didn't have to eat mezainis.
No, he asked him about machlevi sukkah on wine. That's what he asked him. So he sat down and papayin tapis on the sukkah. But he was a very matzav, very matzav b'simcha. So on in that time, we had the Rabban, the Esrog, the Rabban, used to make a bracha. It was only an Eretz Yisrael that Esrog. He didn't want to make not an Eretz Yisrael that Esrog. He wanted to make only an Eretz Yisrael that Esrog because he had a chazaka. Even though there was a fellow by the name of Meir Walter at that time, he brought some. He was the first one that imported Sregim from Morocco, but they didn't want to make a bracha on that. They didn't have the chazaka. And in the yeshiva, what do we do about tefillin? I think we daven together. There was not too many on
it. Is he with him without?
Those with tefillin, without tefillin, we daven together. There was not too many on him at that time. As far as I remember, there was not too many on him at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the last day of Chalam, the last day of Sukkot, Simchas Torah was that the Olam came back. Everybody came back now I think it was, I don't remember when it was Simchas Torah? No. Simchas Torah, no, was, I think it was one of the days, was it Chalam Moed? I think it was Yontav. It was on the second day, on the second day Yontav, of the first days.
Yeah.
So, then Rabban sent me to go to, there was a hotel, I forgot the name of the hotel. He told me to, maybe it was the Brunswick Hotel.
Yeah, it used to be Brunswick.
The Brunswick, he told me to go to tell Bernie, who happened to have been the guy that was Meshamish Rabban.
Yeah, yeah.
He told me to tell Bernie to take receipt books, which is, even though it was on Yonta, to take receipt books, and told me to go ahead and tell Bernie to bring it over to the Brunswick, because the Olam Etzach Tzegein, and he won't have any receipts to write to the Olam. They made appeal for the yeshiva. So he told me I should go tell him to go bring over the receipt books.
At night?
No, on Yontav itself. On Yontav itself, he told me to go bring over the receipt books. Tell him to bring over the receipt books. So that's what I did. And on the way back, when I came back, that's when I got my fahir. Until that time, he didn't give me a fahir. He didn't ask me nothing at all. Never spoke a word with me. But when I came back, I told him I did my shlichas, whatever it was. So he asked me, what did I learn in Eretz Yisrael? At that time, I learned Yerdei at that time in Eretz Yisrael. And if I heard me in Yerdei, or not by not, I remember that if I heard me in a big shach, or not by not, that was my fahir. How I did, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Well, you were there.
But I was there. He kept me, suffice I said.
Yeah.
Either he kept me Rachmanis, or he kept me because I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
After that, let's see, the Olam came back for Simchas Torah.
Yeah.
The Olam came back for Simchas Torah. I don't remember, was one of the days of one of the nights of Chalam Moed, or maybe it was in Yontev. I remember we danced in the dining room.
Yeah.
I think that the dance in the dining room at that time was I forgot what exactly what the nigun was, but it was a murdergi slavos. The Olam Mamish turned murdergi slavos. Very, very good slavos. That Mamish like for 45 minutes without non-stop. It was a big slavos, and Rabban was there. In fact, Rabban had a gewaldic, he liked nigina, even though he himself couldn't hold a tune. But he liked nigina. In fact, when I was there for Pesach also, the last Pesach was with Rabban.
Yeah.
So I was there with... was a minion of Bochum, not a minion of Bochum. I know his youngest grandson was there at that time, Issa Zalman.
Yeah.
He's now in Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
So at that time, but Pesach, so at Pesach time, so I'm jumping right now.
You know Issa Zalman Schwartzman?
So Issa Zalman Schwartzman, yes. So then I think he must have been 5-6 years old, and I think maybe he stole off the Kaiman or something like that.
Yeah.
So he asked, the Rabban asked somebody once, so he said, Yvila Machumish Metalim Meforshim. So, but anyway, at that time, the Seder lasted, it was also, Rabban said a lot of mices at that time from Rabbi Yeshua Leib and the Beis Halevi. But the chumras that we have by, you know, the eating the matzah, bedavkin, and swallowing it down, he didn't hurry. We didn't find no kvedus. The pshat is like a kvedus that you have to finish it. In fact, at that time, they served lettuce they had plain lettuce.
Right,
there was lettuce for morer, and they used, and they had Yonis and Steib's matzahs I don't remember if we had that for the Gzaisim. I don't remember exactly what we had for the Gzaisim. I know we had Yonis and Steib's matzahs. So, but it was like 1:30, 2 o'clock, Reb Schneer came over, And he asked Reb Schneier, he says he wanted to have a certain nigun. So he says, G'dengs dem and dem, this bochen, this year, because Reb Schneier tried a few nigun until he got the right one.
did they used to think the nigun of, now you reminded me, I have to ask you this, Reb Schneier used to sing a nigun in Russian of Yachad Miyadeya. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember.
Oh.
I don't remember such a thing.
Oh.
So getting back to Sukkot, so
yeah.
The Olam came back for Simchas Torah, and the coffers were gewaldig. They brought Rabban over, everybody, they took Rabban over from, Rabban went from the, I don't remember, was it from the Bismedrish to the dining room or the dining to the Bismedrish? And I knew they had a candelabrum, Neiris in front of him, and the Olam danced in the street. It was mamish a sight to behold. It was mamish, his face was mamish like Malach Elokim. It was like a flame. It was a sight that's left an everlasting impression, and everybody that saw it. And during the daytime, during the daytime, I think we used to go to Jungleit's houses and used to say Misamer Zain.
Yeah.
And came back to Yeshiva, but the coffers were. The coffers went to Old Bismedrish. Old Bismedrish, and our barons used to stand by the Bima and used to say, I think the Nikinim. The Nigunim, I think if you're done, what Nigunim to sing? He stood by the Bima. I remember standing by the Bima. Then when the Olam danced, but he didn't dance around. And Rabbi Moshe Emes, everybody used to jump up and down. Rabbi himself jumped up and down. Rabbi Moshe Emes, he didn't, as much as he could listen, this was the last year of his life, as much as he could jump, he jumped. But when it came to Moshe Emes, he jumped himself up and down.
He was very shvach at that time?
No, it was not noticeable at all. It was not noticeable, not the year that I came. This was a year before his Ptira. This was that time, the Masechta we're learning that time was Shabbos. The yeshiva was that Elul, the yeshiva learned Shabbos. In fact, they learned Paraklav Godla, we're learning the Sukkos of Shkogos at that time. And this was before Sukkos, I mean, talking about this. And then the next month they learned Baba Basra. The next month they learned Baba Basra. And, where am I?
Hey, tell me something about the shiurim. What went on in the shiurim?
What the seder was? The seder of the shiurim used to say his first shiur. Well, first of all, Friday night he used to say over the shiur in front of two bachrim. In fact, I remember some of the bachrim. Moshe Hill Hirsch used to say it over from. It used to be a fellow by the name of Maxi Rosenthal was also there. He was not from the top bachrim, but he used to sit into the. I don't know how he got in there to sit over the shiur. But Moshe Hill was. Used to say over the shiur from Moshe Hill.
You know where this Maxi Rosenthal? Where he is?
Maxi Rosenthal, he became a rabbi. I don't know where he was. He was out in Texas, Gleis Alenish, where he is right now. I don't know what he's doing right now. He came from
Hechel Torah?
Hechel Torah. What's the London Brothers.
London Brothers.
He came from the London Brothers. He came there. And he used to be a big plugger of Rabban Shurim. He was mamish like when he was a big plugger. So this was Friday night, Shabbos in the winter time. Rabban's so he said the shiur of the shiur Friday night, and Maitzi Shabbos on the winter time he said the shiur, and the whole Lom Pashtaitzach was there by the shiur. And after the shiur, so then there was Chazaras Hashir. Who were the Machzir Mashir at that time?
Yeah.
Moshe Hill Hirsch was one, and the other one was Meir Hartstein.
Yeah.
Moshe Hill Meir Hartstein set over the shiur. And then the Olam went back to the dining room and they made eggs. That was the Seder. They made eggs and whatever it was.
This is Friday?
This was Shabbos, Moshe Shabbos.
Oh, Moshe Shabbos, okay.
Shabbos by day, Rabbi Aaron ate in yeshiva with the oil. He ate in the dining room with everybody else ate in the dining room. And and on Sunday, he used to say Hamshach to the shiur that he said on Shabbos, Maitre Shabbos, he said on Sunday Hamshach. was the Shira. I don't know exactly how it lasted. At least I don't remember exactly how it lasted. But I know at that time there was they used to tape. There was one tape recorder that they had. It was a fellow by the name of Nussbaum, A.C. Nussbaum. That's probably all the tapes that they have for a bunch.
Where is this A.C. Nussbaum now?
A.C. Nussbaum was in Toronto. He wasn't. Maybe he lives in New York, Manhattan. He plays Alainish. He was came from originally, I think, from Toronto. He's a well-to-do now. What he is right now, at that time, he was considered well-to-do Bacher. So he had one of those big Webster tape recorders.
Yeah, real-to-real.
What?
A real.
Yeah, real-to-real. Right. That was the big tape recorder. And nobody got a hold of a tape recorder, but I think that's where all those were those were put away in Fort Knox. the Rishpach had those tapes of Bob DeShurim. That's when Rabban was Nifter. I think Rabbi Shneur used to listen to those tapes. So he used to say over Rabban Shurim. So that was Mitzvah Shabbos, and on the summertime, he used to say the Shir on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself, he used to say the Shir. And then on Sunday was always come out. Always was a hemshach.
What was the shurim like? What went on during the shir?
The shurim were nobody butted into the shurim, as far as I remember. Nobody butted into the shurim. He said the shur, and it was it wasn't easy for me. I'm not saying for myself. It was probably a lot of others also. It was hard to be typhus. You had to really you had to be holding machmas. Not only is first of all, is Dibur, is Yiddish was okay. You know, if you understood Yiddish, you understood Yiddish, but it was very quick, it wasn't easy to follow. Uh-huh. If you had to really go to the Chazara to follow, so Moshe Hill used to kaiduch everything. You know, I used to kaiduch, really work it through.
Uh-huh.
And Meir Hartstein, we had such a gavaldika copy, was able to put it all together and say it over. To get the tamsis of what the ikari sodas of what the shir were, and there's always marma kaimis for the shirim before him.
Yeah.
The shirim would always marma kaimis before him. So those people that worked in the shirim got a lot from it.
Yeah, I interviewed Meir Hartstein.
Yeah,
he came across very very controlled. He was able, very calm person.
Who, Meir?
Very calm.
Sure.
No excitement.
Yeah.
Very impressed with that,
and in fact, during that year, Rabbi Aaron said chaburas also. In other words, he said chaburas for the younger Olam that we were in the younger Olam. He said chaburas also, and that was where did he say chaburas? I think in was.
Could you explain what a chabura is?
Chabura was, he said, over. I don't know exactly what the chaburas were.
What's the nature of a chabura relative to a shir?
It was different than a shir. It wasn't so intense as a shir. It wasn't intenseness was not as a shir, but it was like a
discussion.
It was like a mini shir, but not but not with the same intensity that like a regular shir was. It was easier to follow that. Where am I holding?
You said they said kavuras.
Oh yeah, okay. And in the summertime, he said on Shabbos, and again on Sunday, he said also. And that time the Olam didn't go home. I mean, I remember when I was there. I was there until Hanukkah. It's not like nowadays that everybody goes home every Shabbos. That time they didn't go home. And when you went home, you asked Rabbi and Rishus. I mean, and I remember it was just asked Rabbi and Rishus. Getting back to. Getting back to Yom Kippur, everybody used to go say Shalom Aleichem. I mean, get a bracha for Rabban.
Yeah.
It was something very special. Rabban used to give a bracha to everybody that came by. He used to give a bracha.
Did he give each person a special bracha?
I don't remember what the bracha was. It wasn't a richazik a bracha, but he gave a bracha to everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. And it was not Stamazim, because of Good Yontif or and if Doyle walked away, everybody individually came up, got a bracha for Rabban. That was by Yom Kippur.
But there wasn't. There was only so many people. How many people were there?
It wasn't a big island. It was a small island.
It was a small island.
How many could it be? With like 80 bochum, 35 yungalite, maybe got a little bit bigger. I mean, you're not talking about a big island.
Right.
Simchas Torah at that time, going back to Simchas Torah, the island dance there, and they put up shtenders in the back.
Yeah.
That people didn't come inside. Now, the ladies was like the ladies couldn't come into Beis Medrash, but they were there. They were, you know, in the back of the Beis Medrash. They were there, and some were in their porch. The old building used to be a Beis Medrash building. Used to be a porch. They used to look in through the window, and then they had a. In the back was also shtenders there. So the Weiber were there.
Mm-hmm.
I think must have been. I don't remember. Was afterwards when the Bagleid Rabban. I don't remember already. When the Bagleid Rabban.
By what Bagleid?
Bagleid. They escorted him.
Oh, Bagleid. Yeah.
Bagleid. Yeah. So at that time, there's a lot to talk. It's already 10:30, and I'm tired. Today. You got to get me another time to talk about this. I don't remember exactly where I'm holding already.
You're just
finishing Baruch about Sukkot time, right?
Yeah, I try to get as much out of you now as I can because what happens is to reconnect is very hard.
During the year, Rabban used to come to the yeshiva. This I remember, and he used to learn in a side room. Mm-hmm. People didn't come around to ask. There's no such thing as people, individual people or mishalachim come to the Beis Medrash. They never allowed that. There's only two things that went on at the Beis Medrash. That was for Tashbar and for Chinuch Atzmoy. That was, in fact, that one time was a Gabbai. It was a Gabbai one time for Tashbar. But Tashbar and Tishbar, in fact, there was only one time when there was a Maisa with Yosela. So then he went around, they sent a shliach to go around. He says, you want everybody to be zeich in the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim. They had to hire damos, that fellow Tamir, I think it was, cost him like $25,000.
Of the lawyer.
So the lawyer, they said he wants everybody to have a chelik in the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim. And I was one time standing in the hall, there was a phone there. It wasn't a pay phone, it was a regular phone there, and the phone was ringing. So the olim, he had a side room, those glass doors. There was another room there with Sfarim. They used to speak there and learning, whatever. So the phone was ringing, so it kept ringing. So Byron told me, pick it up, it might be important.
Yeah.
That's what he says, you have to pick up the phone, it might be important.
Yeah.
And outside the Beis Medrash, there was used to sell cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, a lot of Zach, which is really not, but Byron, I'm just telling you about what she was at that time.
Individual cigarettes.
Yeah, individual, like 3-4 nickel and three and that's what it was.
Yeah.
And during Seder time, the second Seder was 4-hour Seder, I think. So Seder was from 4 to 8. It was a big Seder. Morning Seder was 9:30 to 1:30. Then it was like Mincha, and then it was lunchtime. Where Rabban was there was very big uplifting. I mean, he used to come to davening every day. Davening was quick; it wasn't slow. Rabban davened very quickly, and it was a quick davening. It wasn't Oizke Schlapp to davening. The davening he davened quickly.
Yeah.
He davened didn't daven slow. He davened quickly. What was after that? What was after that? After Sukkot, I'm trying to think what happened after Sukkot. The Olam went home. I don't remember. Probably, but the Olam must have gone home until the newsman started.
So about a week.
Until the newsman started. And he used to go in. Rabban used to take. Used to have a driver. Used to have a rotation system. To take Rabban into.
Did you ever drive for him?
No, I didn't have a license. I didn't drive him. But the Olam tried to avoid it because they didn't want to take out the time from learning. But Lebaise, in retrospect, was a gewaltig geschied, those that were able to...
But a lot of people, most interesting stories I heard, people were drivers.
Yeah.
Drivers had the most shimush.
Yeah, they had the most shimush.
Yeah.
They had the most shimush. So probably you got a lot of stories out of them.
Yeah, everybody was a driver. We've had something very interesting happen.
Yeah. So I was not. No, I was not a driver. But I wasn't a driver. So the next month, I don't remember exactly. Nothing special during the winter's month. Did anything happen special during the winter? I think he went to Eretz Yisrael at that time. Time he went to Eretz Yisrael, and the day that he went to Eretz Yisrael, he went, there was Rav Leib Malan was nifter. So he went to, and he had, there was a, he spoke, that was his famous schmooze about college, and that schmooze.
Yeah.
Was taped down that schmooze about Rav Leib Malan. The whole Oilam went to New York at that time.
Where was that held?
It was held in New York.
You know, which place?
It was at a shul someplace, I don't remember.
The East Side?
I don't remember. Gedenknecht. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Who
else was speaking there?
I don't remember either. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who else was there. I know Ravan was there, and I know the Shiva was there. I mean, the Shiva went to Bagley. At that time, who went with him to Eretz Yisrael? At that time, Shlomo Rakeach.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you heard that name before.
I think he's on my list.
Is your list? So Shlomo Rakeach. Yechassidish. He was a Shabbos of Rabban. He probably would have a lot of stories of Rabban when he went to Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
I remember at that time.
He's in Borough Park.
He is in Borough Park, yeah. He's, what does he do? He sells non insurance. He sells something like that for phones, for telephones, hours for that. But he went with Rabban to Eretz Yisrael, and that day that he went with him, that was the day that he went to Eretz Yisrael, he was maspid the Rav Leib Malan, and he spoke a fire shmuz at that. It was mamish like fire. It was like.
Do you remember some of the things he said?
About college, about you have to hear the tape. I don't remember exactly the whole tape, but it was a very, it was a meridik shmuz.
Did he ever talk about that in the yeshiva?
Did he ever talk about the yeshiva, about college? I don't remember. I don't think so. The shmuzim basically, what a lot of the shmuzim were Mishnah's Rabban, those were the shmuzim. I don't remember. No, I don't remember speaking about college in the shmuzim. So I don't remember. I partially don't remember. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what was in the shmuzim.
No, if you don't remember, that's fine.
I do remember that at one time during Baba Basra, he had this famous Shurim Aleyachbar that the Olam learned much quicker than they learned right now. In fact, that when I was in Babasa was only for one zman. We almost at that time it was in a small chabura because how big was yeshiva?
Yeah.
I was with Shlomo Miller and a few others in a chabura. We learned almost three prokim. We learned all together the first parak, Lo Yachbor and Chaska Sabatim. And in fact, we had the second Seder. We finished Gans Chaska Sabatim in the second Seder. Now, it's not Shaykh. That's like learning Daf Yemi, you would call it. But Rabban said on the first parak and on the second parak, he covered the second parak for Yachbar. So I remember that time there was two people that came. There was Simcha Zissel Brody from Hebron came to the Shiva.
Yeah.
I remember, and also Tziprstein.
Yeah.
Both are the Ilama Emes.
Avigdor Tziprstein.
Yeah, Avigdor Tziprstein. So they both were there, and Rabban was saying it's Shurim Echardel, and Tziprstein raised his hand to ask a question, and he asked him a question, and Rabban got very excited. He Mamish told him the answer. He says it was he told him you're making a big mistake in everything what you're saying. And he says that's a nachamol nidazetz and learn a good gemara Russian tosis not them at your friend.
Well, that was the only time you saw something like that.
Yeah, that was the only time I saw something like that. Like, you know, like and after he got it over the head, after Tziprstein got it over the head, so Simcha Zissel Brody wanted to ask something, but he decided better not to ask anything. He was, his shurim was like, you know, that was the only time that I saw a Baron in action against somebody that's asking shilas in the middle of a shiur. That was those two that came.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, there's the, I remember Shabbos, let's see, I remember one time Shabbos, they came, I think, Mo Feuerstein.
Who?
Feuerstein, there's a fellow, Mo Feuerstein, used to be a wealthy.
Okay.
So he came on Shabbos, I remember I was standing there, that he gave Rabban Shalom, and he was wearing gloves, and he took off the glove and shook Rabban's hand, and I don't think Rabban told him anything about the glove.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to tell him anything, but
he used to wear gloves on Shabbos.
This fellow, I mean, he was a Shem Shabbos, but he wore a glove. He took off his glove. He gave Shem Shabbos. I'm just telling you, Stamos, he cleaned the mice a lot. After that, the Chardel Shurim were special Shurim of his. There was Bamish like there was special Shurim. There was, he held the very very stock of those Shurim. Then at the end of this line, anything else happened during that time? He came back from Israel, and they said a lot of stories over, but that you'll have to ask Shlomo Rakeach. I mean, this is only hearsay. It's not something that I was there, so I can't tell you.
Okay.
Yochanan Shlomer Rekech, how did, but they are no one there to show, they tried to chop a Rabban really gave blasted them out, the Imam
Shlomer. in what area?
In you know, they asked on the Shurim.
In learning.
Yeah, in learning. It was very, very stark.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what else one time happened? I think there was a Gneva one time in the yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
There was a Gneva in the yeshiva and had some things stolen. Rabban asked me, what was stolen? And so
mm-hmm.
he tried to. So I asked him if what happened to the shurim, if any of the shurim was stolen.
Uh-huh.
No. The shurim he had, the shurim were not stolen. It was his prized possession. He wouldn't part from that at all.
Uh-huh.
Then came Pesach, but that's already a ganze shmuz about Pesach. And Pesach, and then the next man was already the summer's man. I think we learned the summer's man. What did we learn in the summer's man? After Babasra, yes, after Babasra we learned Baba Metzia, and then the next man was, I think, was Baba Kaman. I think it was Niftar Baba Kaman. It was Niftar. Mm-hmm. This man was Baba Kaman. He was Niftar.
That was after Sukkot.
That was already after Sukkot.
Right? Like today's the outside.
What? Yeah.
Today's the yahrzeit.
Tonight is the yahrzeit.
Yeah.
Mamish tonight is
right.
Tonight is the yahrzeit.
Right.
But Aaron, tonight is the yahrzeit from Rab Nosson.
Right.
At that time, getting back to the winter's man, Rab Nosson, when he used to Rab Nosson also stayed the yeshiva the whole week,
mm-hmm.
and used to come back from New York. He used to bring the stuff from the Fadoilim. That was like, you know, like some snacks. He used to bring to the Ilum to back. All right, Shoshana, we spoke already
okay.
for a long time.
Could you say something like something about a general impression that you, legacy, that you want to put down? Anything?
It was Mama, you said this. To put it down in words, I have to really think exactly what you want to put as a legacy to put down. But there was no question that it was an Adam Gadol. There was you felt it, and you in the whole yeshiva when the Rabban was there, there was mamish like it was Meridik.
Mm-hmm.
It was something very, very special. The Rabban when the Rabban is and Hog is, and you saw the Gadol Ador. I mean, you had Gadol Ador next to you. I mean,
you knew it.
It's not something that you had to read about. It's not something that
It was obvious
that this is the, you know, this was the Gadol Ador, and Mitzad Sheni was a Gevaldik and Nivus and Pashtos. It was no Chas V'Shalom, no any type of not Nivus and Pashtos and it's Mitzidoy. Okay,
thank you very much.
Okay,
Kol Tov.
Thank you.
Bye bye.